Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. And today in the studio, we are joined by Dr. Ken Udell, a candidate in Utah's newest congressional districts following the redrawing of the maps, CD3. Dr. Udell, it's a pleasure to be catching up with you today. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
And thank you, Aiden, for the opportunity to come in and have a chat with you.
So I always like to start these conversations the same way, but what inspired you to run for this open congressional seat? Is this something you just woke up and decided one day, or what's the thought process like with in running for this seat?
Well, I'm retired. Professor Emeritus from both Berkeley and University of Utah. And living in Castle Valley, it's a beautiful place. But when I saw this new map for District 3, I thought, that is my home. I live there. I understand the country. I understand the rivers. I understand the people. I looked at that. I thought, this is a place where I can make a difference.
You know, and that's always one of the biggest things I like to see is what is the reason why? Are they doing it for personal gain, or in your case, you're going out because you want to serve the area you live in? So it's always interesting to get the politician's perspective on that. Now, looking at your background, as you mentioned, former educator, you also have backgrounds in engineering and science. So if you are to be elected, what skills did you pick up in these fields that you think would be very beneficial to help serve your constituents if you are elected?
One of the things about being an engineer and an engineering educator is that you are harnessed to the truth. You cannot say a lie. I cannot get in front of an engineering class and give them BS. I have to tell them the truth. My research has to be the truth. If I publish something that is fraudulent, I will leave my job. Truth is my currency. And so that's one thing I could bring to it is truth. I also, as an engineer, I solve problems. And I identify problems and work with people to figure out the right solutions, and then I work forward to push those solutions forward. I'm not a career politician, as you say. I'm not one of those people that creates a problem and then promise I'm going to solve it. I'm a person that identifies the problem and then works creatively and interactively and through persuasion and maybe through a little resistance to make sure that those solutions are implemented, common sense solutions, get implemented in a way that's going to be helping the people that live in this district.
Now, kind of continuing on that same theme of problems, and whenever election season rolls around, each prospective candidate always has their list of certain key issues. And going through years, you have a lengthy list of issues you'd like to tackle. And I think that's always a great thing to see. A few that are pretty pertinent around here, you know, energy, water, public lands, gun safety and rights. Let's start with energy first. Can you explain why this is an emphasis of your campaign and how you'd kind of approach the issue of energy if you're elected?
Energy is absolutely essential for everybody's life. That we need it in our car, we need it in our heating systems, we need it to process our food. We need to have energy to be able to get by. We're humans. Humans evolved by burning things, right? So we need to get energy to be able to survive. So having that source of energy that is inexpensive and reliable and sustainable is what I can be bringing to this conversation. I've done work in oil shale, which I don't want to be a proponent for oil shale. Although I am an expert, I am not a proponent. I understand petroleum engineering. I understand solar. I understand wind. I understand technically all of those different pieces that need to come together to be able to give us a comprehensive, reliable, and sustainable energy system. And the numbers are really pretty clear. You look at it right now, what's the lowest cost? It's solar and wind. It's a no-brainer. You know, people that are maybe pushing for nuclear, I'm not against nuclear, but it's sure expensive. That would be an option if we had a system that would support it. But right now, what we're seeing is solar and wind are the cheapest. And we're seeing companies that are building batteries. Intermountain Electronics, one of the places that builds a lot of containers for batteries right here in Price. It's that kind of technology, it's that kind of movement that I want to see, because that kind of development of those kinds of energy resources means jobs, means people working, means people that are maintaining them. You know, that looking for those jobs, the people that are actually doing the labor, getting them involved in the energy industry. So as we look forward into the future, we feel like we've got a sustainable infrastructure that keeps our lights on and keeps the heat coming.
Now, kind of along a similar vein, energy very important here in the Castle Country, mm-hmm. kind of what our roots are built on. But another thing that's very important in that equation is, of course, water. Why is water such a big emphasis of your campaign?
It's absolutely essential. Water is life. And it is essential for everybody to have a reliable, stable source of clean water. Just like energy, we need water. And we need food, right? So just look at the essentials. What do we need? Water is absolutely essential. And we have a crisis coming up. It's already happening. We look at Lake Powell, see what's happening at Lake Powell. You look at the future, you look at the snowpack, and you think, we're going to have a problem. And we're going to have a problem that's going to need to be solved in the next few years. I feel like I can have a role in that. I'm not somebody that's going to be sitting on a water board, but as a congressman, I do have a voice. And I can express that voice for common sense to get to solutions that give us both the water that we need to be able to water our crops here, and also to be cognizant of the water that we don't use is going to feed the farms in California. We have to compromise to be getting the best economics for that water in this region.
Now, something that you alluded to earlier in our conversation, of course, is the beauty of our area, whether it be Castle Valley or here in the Castle Country. We live in just such a gorgeous area, and a lot of people want to protect access to those public lands because that's what we grow up, that's what we want our kids to be able to explore the same beauty that we do. And that's one of those emphases in your campaign is public land. So what made you want to focus on the issue of public lands?
Because they're beautiful. They are incredible. I don't know of another place on earth that has this variety of incredible terrain, incredible formation, the water resources. It's an amazing place. And when I look at the map, I look at District 3, I thought, this is my home. This is where I'm comfortable. My ancestors came from this area. You know, whether that's Stuart Udall or Jacob Hamblin, I feel that deeply in my bones, that this is land that needs to be protected and it needs to be preserved for future generations. Not that we can't use them productively at whatever that happens to be. And, you know, some logging in some areas, grazing in some areas. I'm not even against putting in, wells, gas wells or oil wells, but just make sure that they are finished and that when the resource is used, that it's left in its pristine condition as we possibly can.
Now, the last issue I kind of want to discuss with you today is another one that's very pertinent here in the Castle Country, and that is that of gun safety and gun rights. People around here are very big on the Second Amendment, and you hear the phrase gun rights being thrown around. You get a little antsy sometimes when you hear that. Yeah. But what do you want to focus on with gun safety and gun rights during this campaign and if you are elected?
My first firearm was given to me by my father at the age of 12, year before he died. I've had guns pretty much all my life, a BB gun or a Pelican, and then 410 shotgun. When I was 13, I earned a marksmanship rating from the NRA. Would go into the basement of the armory and would learn gun safety and marksmanship. And I think about that training that came from those interactions with the NRA and realize that that is also deep in my bones. The idea that you never point a gun at anybody, and you never have a loaded gun. And if you have a load, if you have a gun given to you, you make sure that it's unloaded. That's just the way that I learned how to deal with gun safety. I think that that is still something that needs to be pushed in terms of our gun laws. I would like to see somebody that goes in the first time gun owner, if the first purchase, I would like to see them have a mandatory safety training and have somebody there, some person that is really good at marksmanship, understands guns, understands safety, and work through the people that are buying those guns to make sure that they have that safety and get in their head that you do not point a gun at another human being, and you do not walk around with a loaded gun, and that would solve a lot of problems out there. I'm toying around with what we do with assault weapons. They trouble me. You know, having a gun that is designed to kill people in the hands of people that might want to kill people, you know, as a mass shooting or something, that bothers me. I don't think there's a need for having those guns out there in public. But I would love to shoot one and take me to a gun range. And if it's owned by a gun range, I would love to take an AR-15 and shoot up some stuff. That would be so much fun. I get that. But I would not use that for a hunting gun. I would use a 30-06 with the scope if I'm going for deer. I would use a shotgun if I'm going for pheasant. Like, there is no need in my life that I can see for a hunter to be having an AR-15. So I would be open to that. You know, just quit selling them and let people use them in gun clubs and have fun shooting them. But there's really no need outside of that, other than entertainment and recreation, to have those guns available.
Now, as you go along the campaign trail, and we see this in campaign after campaign, lots of promises naturally are going to be made. Lots of claims for what you want to do for your constituents, yeah. But no lone congressman in this case can make change by himself. So if you are to be elected, how would you go about actually instituting this change that you're talking about on the campaign trail?
One of the things about coming out of academia is that I know how to write. So I can write legislation, and I get the legal people on my staff to make sure that the legislation is tight, but I can write legislation, and I can promote that legislation through common sense and persuasion. That's also what I do as an engineer and an educator. You know, persuade people to be seeing my side and to be moving forward. I also have real clear boundaries as to what I would accept. And there will be places where I will dig in my heels and I will say no, no matter what. So those are the things I can do in terms of writing legislation, persuading. I can also take stands to make sure that the people in this district are not going to be hurt by any federal policy.
Now, my last question for you today is, why should the residents of CD3 give you their vote in this upcoming primary election?
I think that people in CD3, and I getting a feeling that everybody in this country are really anxious. This is a tough time. We look at the politics, we look at the corruption, we look at the corruption of our media feeds, we look at the corruption of the politicians getting all of this money and from the health insurance companies and from the fossil fuel industry and from the pharmaceutical, and they are then working for those people and not for the people here in this district. I don't have those interests. I'm not going to be taking money from corporate interests. I'll take money from local, and I'll take individual contributions, but my objective is to get elected to work for the people in this country. These are people that I know. I love these people. I love the people that live in this district, and I want to do what I can to help them in affording homes and having an energy future and to have a water future and to have a future that they could look forward to, a future where a young couple can get married and think that they have a pathway to have a family, and that family then, their children are going to be born into a world that is not going to burn up, or it's not going to turn into oligarchy. You know, people are nervous. The women in particular, between the age of 25 and 45, did a survey. 40% of those women want to leave this country. They feel so neglected in what they want to be doing. I want to change that. I want to have a system where women, young women, want to take a pathway. If it's to be a family, I want them to be able to figure out a way of having an affordable home in a community where they have childcare. So I, you know, that's one of the things that is really missing. And health insurance, that's also a big part of it. If I look at where all the money goes, health insurance is a big part of it. House insurance is a big part of it. We've got a little bit of a problem here with global warming, and that's kicking up all of our insurance costs. And yes, it is true, we do have global warming. That is one thing I do know as a scientist, absolutely sure of. The carbon dioxide that we're producing from burning all that carbon, putting it into the atmosphere, is increasing the average temperature of the Earth. Now, that's a problem. That's a problem because as that happens, it also changes the moisture content that the air can hold. That means that you're going to have bigger droughts and you're going to have bigger floods. randomly, whatever that weather is. So we are paying for those costs. And we're paying for those costs also in increased insurance, healthcare costs, all kinds of places that we look at. That pathway is not the best pathway for people. And if you look at the pathway where we're moving more into solar, wind, geothermal, which is also a great resource in this area, the geothermal resources in Beaver are pretty impressive, and they're developing the technologies to be able to deal with that. So there are a lot of things that I could be bringing. I can bring energy, I can bring honesty, I can bring integrity, I can bring the mentality of a bridge builder as an engineer, that I'm building bridges between that person and that person. And I don't really care who anybody voted for in the past election. What I want is for them to see the vision that I have and realize that it's the correct vision, and that's the vision that they want to support. And that's how I'm going to be getting the votes. And I'm going to get the votes also, hopefully, with time, people will start to trust me and know that I'm a straight shooter. I'm an engineer. You lie, people die. So that's what I want to leave that with time. It's going to take some time for them to trust me, but I want them to have a representative that they can trust, that is straight shooter, that's going to be honest with them, and is going to be working 100% on the issues that they need to have worked on. Affordability, climate issues, water issues. You see the list of the different items. There's a lot of work to be doing, and I'm not seeing the party that is in power doing anything about any of those issues. I think I can do something about them. That's why I'm running.
Well, Dr. Udell, it was a pleasure to have you on today. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. This has been great fun.
Again, our guest, Dr. Kent Udell, a candidate for Congressional District 3 here in Utah, talking about why he deserves your vote in this upcoming primary election. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.